resolutions, vows, whatever you might say. So I was thinking about that. It's kind of this out with the new, I mean out with the old and in with the new. And the things that we promise or we try to change ourselves or better ourselves or whatever it might be. So, speaking of vows, and in Ecclesiastes 5, 2 to 6, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands?" So, better not to say, better to not promise to do something than to promise and not do it. So, these vows that we make, whether it's to lose weight, or to exercise more, or eat more healthy, or eat less food, or spend more time doing things, or less time doing some things, or make more money, spend less money, spend more time on Facebook, or less time on Facebook, or whatever it might be. See, some of those things are actually good, and in our Sunday school lesson today, there's actually a couple of verses. It says, "Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" So, sometimes we do make promises that we can't keep, or that we shouldn't keep. So, having said that, I'm going to read in 1 Samuel 14. You can turn there if you like. Thinking about some vows that people made. This is a vow that Saul had made. So in the first part of the chapter, Jonathan and his armor bearer have killed a bunch of Philistines. And then later on, they're reunited with the men of Israel. So I'm going to start reading at verse 24. "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies.' So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, 'Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day.' And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, 'My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people sin against the Lord, and that they eat with the blood. And he said, Ye have transgressed, roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord." So, after Jonathan and his armor bearer had killed a bunch of Philistines by themselves, Saul makes this vow that nobody can eat anything. Which didn't seem like a very rational vow to make if you're going to be chasing and fighting. Kind of nice to have a little food in your stomach to give you strength. So anyhow, and then the people they were so hungry that they did stuff that they shouldn't have done, eating, which they were commanded not to do, was to eat with the blood. Okay, and Saul said, verse 36, let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. So, just looking at Saul's vow not to eat, and maybe we make vows to not to eat sometimes, or not to do certain things, and not thinking over how rational or if we're speaking rashly. As it said in Ecclesiastes, it's better not to vow, not to promise, than to promise and not come through. Whether that's, there are a lot of things that we do. I mean, we take on a contract to buy a car or a house, or we vow when we get married. There are a lot of other things. Do we keep the vows that we make? And thinking about this, and I just wanted to read a verse in Daniel. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And we know how Daniel, Daniel, it says, purposed or vowed, I guess is what I think, that he would not defile himself. Now this, I think we need to vow not to do these things. And sometimes, I know that sometimes we make a promise and we say, I'm not going to do that, and we do it. Not saying that you should be really hard on yourself, because we do make mistakes. We do things sometimes. But looking back at Saul's life, it seemed like Saul's life went downhill, whereas Daniel was blessed by the things that he had done. So anyhow, I was thinking with this, the last of the year, we say it's out with the old and in with the new. So thinking along those lines, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, you know, that is out with the old and in with the new. It's a new creature. And the last part, just read this in my devotions this week. In 1 John 3, the first three verses, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So, in a sense, we are a new creature in Christ, but someday we're going to be transformed to be like Christ. It says we don't know, does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So that's the hope that we have in Christ, is to be like him. So, not discouraging any of you to make New Year's resolutions. Be careful the resolutions that we make, the vows that we make. I think we need to be think about what we say and what we promise, but also that we can be new creatures in Christ. So, and it is Christ who has promised to help us and give us the strength that we need. So let's pray.